Hello and welcome. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel and it is time for Final Draft. Every week I read. I read every day and I get the chance to come and speak with authors and share this with you. It is books, writing and literary culture on your radio. And today I have a fantastic new Australian novel to discuss. Now, before we get there, I wanted to share just some amazing news that's happened. And this is in the literary world as well as, I guess, just more broadly in a sense of, you know, who we are as a people or you know, things that have been happening in this country. Because Behrouz Bouchani, you may know, he is a journalist, he is a novelist. We spoke to him on Final Draft around the release of his absolutely stunning novel, No Friend But the Mountains. Behrouz has been imprisoned on Manus Island, at the behest of the Australian government for more than 6 years, and in the last 24 hours or so, he has made it to New Zealand and is essentially has some modicum of freedom. Behrouz is in New Zealand to appear at a writer's festival. He is on, a limited visa and his future is still indeterminate. But if you look at interviews that he has given, he talks about freedom. And it's just absolutely wonderful that this incredibly talented journalist, this incredibly talented novelist, this very important writer of Australian identity and what we as a country have allowed in offshore detention, that this person, this man is allowed to walk free. Now, it's important to remember also that there are men still on Manus Island. The offshore detention regime has not ended. But just a huge shout out to Behrouz Bouchani and the amazing work that he's done. And if you want a chance to hear Behrouz speak about his work, you can go to the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. There is a conversation that I had there with Behrouz there to listen and discover his book, No Friend But the Mountains. Now, that is just some incredibly happy news, and we wish the best for Behrouz in his future and also just finding somewhere to live. But of course, we are also going to talk about some new books today. And today on the show, I will be sharing a new novel from the prolific crime novelist Gary Disher. Gary's got more than 50 titles to his name. He's won a couple of Ned Kelly Awards. He's also won a Ned Kelly Lifetime Achievement Award. And he has a new novel out in time for Christmas, appropriately set around Christmas. So I love a good Christmassy novel that deals with crime. The novel is Peace. It takes us to South Australia on the eve of Christmas, where a local constable has a horrific crime pop up in his backyard that he has to deal with. So stay tuned to the show. I'm going to be back after a short break to share with you Gary Disher's piece. You are tuned into 2SER. This is Final Draft.
2SER is proud to announce our online store is open. You can find a few of 2SER's classic t-shirt designs now on sale at 2SER.com by clicking on the merch button. We'll be adding more goodies in the future, so keep an eye out. 2SER, stories, ideas, music and merch.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. This is Final Draft and my name is Andrew Popel. Now I'm joined in the studio by Gary Disher. Gary is a prolific writer across genres. He's won the German Crime Prize several times, the Ned Kelly Award again several times, and in 2018 he was awarded the Ned Kelly Lifetime Achievement Award. He has a new book out. That's of course why he's here to speak with me. Pleasure to welcome you to Final Draft, Gary.
Thanks, Andrew.
Now, Peace. Peace brings us back with Constable Paul Hirschhausen, and he wants what anyone wants around Christmas time, a little bit of peace. As the one man in the one man police station in Tiverton, South Australia, he knows he'll have to deal with drunks and petty crime, but hopefully not much more. Then one morning on his rounds, he discovers a terrified and injured horse shrinking from further harm. He follows it home only to discover a far more horrific sight. Now, Gary, you've tied my hands here somewhat. Throughout the opening half of the book, about to sort of page 180, you weave personalities, events, crimes that Hirsch ultimately must unravel. And whilst I loved reading it as a reader, as an interviewer, I find it really hard to navigate without spoiling too much of the mystery, such as the intricacy that you've woven here. So I wanted to throw it to you. How do you talk about Peace, and indeed, how do you talk about any of your mysteries in a way that maintains the suspense.
Yes, I saw a printed review of the piece earlier today in which one of the key crimes is given away, which I think would be a spoiler for readers. So I'll try to navigate the shoals of this conversation so that I don't give too much away. There's a rule of thumb in crime fiction that there has to be a murder in the first page or the first chapter, but often my crime novels don't do that. That I'm trying to establish a sense of a place, of a community, of the characters, because I think a vicious crime too early in the book is a distraction. I'm writing about people and place, and then gradually some of the more horrifying crimes occur. As a country cop, he's dealing with some graffiti, he's dealing with some kids who steal a ute, and he is a social, there's a welfare function in his job too. He's looking out for elderly widows or a widow with a schizophrenic son, that sort of thing. And a lot of those things are woven through all through the book and resonate later in the book. But in the meantime, I'm giving the reader a sense of a guy and a place, and then I start to ramp up the tension.
Hirsch also has to make some judgment calls throughout piece, and there are ramifications for that. But within a small town, of course, things can't be cut and dried. These are people he sees every day. They're not just plaintiffs or witnesses or defendants. Can you talk to me about notions of law, of right, and of justice that you play out in piece?
It all should be seen through the eyes of Hirsch, I think. I think he's a fair man. He tries to be fair. He'll come in hard against obviously serious criminals, but if it's a couple of kids who steal a ute, he'll try to negotiate a reprimand of some kind that's going to mean something to them. It has to be done formally in the town hall, blah, blah, blah. But he's a fair man, really, and but if some of his senior officers knew the approach he took, he'd probably be wrapped over the knuckles. But that's not the kind of guy he is. He's a bit put upon, you know. He muddles through. He's put upon by senior officers and so on. But ultimately, he's a fair guy. He gives people a fair go.
So let's get a sense of Hirsch. This is your second outing with him. He's not a local to Tiverton. And throughout piece, he's searching for, I don't know, something in the community, a place for himself, not only as a cop, but maybe some of what he's lost when he was banished from the Metropolitan Police. What attracts you to a familiar character? What brings you back to someone like Hirsch?
I think their state of mind. He's a guy I could probably spend time with. Maybe he's a part of me. He treats things seriously, but at the same time, the world is a bit of a joke. If something bad goes wrong, he's likely to say, well, you have to laugh, don't you, rather than get too angst-ridden about it. So that side of him appealed to me. And I like this notion of a junior guy. Like a lot of crime heroes are police inspectors. They're senior in some way. They're the boss of a team of detectives or whatever it might be. But I wanted to follow the life of an underling, if you like.
What does that mean then? Because being quite young, often the older action hero that you mentioned before also has a lot of experience to lean on. And I suppose it allows some authors to bring up, I might call them skills of convenience. You know, you can put a backstory in where he was able to spend a few years learning the exact fighting technique that he needed in that scene. And I guess you can't rely as much on that for a younger character.
No, but he does have a bit of a past. He was part of a disgraced suburban detective squad in suburban Adelaide. The backstory is that the squad was disbanded for corrupt practices, and some of the officers were sacked. One went to jail. Hirsch was demoted to uniform and sent to one officer police station in the bush. But he's still young, but he has got some detective skills. He's got a little bit of experience, maybe 5 years, if you like.
Now, after I finished piece, I started on your 1996 novel, The Sunken Road. It's an extraordinary novel. And I couldn't help but notice some of the parallels with piece, wherein familiar terrain. I am interested, though, particularly stylistically, in how you build on memory in The Sunken Road. For Anna, who is your protagonist in The Sunken Road, events seem to layer organically in ways that only a mind can fathom as she struggles to identify where she fits in a community where she has so many, I guess, even names that she can wear. And it recalled me to Hirsch, who was very much the opposite, as he strives to come to become a part of the Tiverton community, but he's thwarted by his newness, his lack of that shared experience, that shared history. Can you tell me a little bit about building that sense of community as a writer, even as a person, how you feel community yourself, and how belonging can be entwined with memory?
That's a pose of that question. It's familiarity with place is part of it, because this is the wheat and wool country of the mid-north of South Australia. It's halfway between Adelaide and the Flinders Ranges, and it's where I grew up. I still have family there. Yeah. I say to my friends, I'm going home for Christmas. I use the word home, but I left there when I was 17, but I still call it home. So I have that familiarity with farm life, small town life. The kids I went to school with, or my brother and my sister and my parents, they were part of a community. They played sport in the community or went to dances or whatever it might be. So I've always had that strong sense of what a rural community is like. And for someone like Anna in The Sunken Road, she's part of it. She grew up there. She's got long roots there, but she's a bit of a rebel, a bit on the outer. So I wanted, that was how I explored her character, as someone who rubs up against the other people that she's grown up with and familiar with. Whereas Hirsch, if he rubs up against them, it's by accident. He'd rather shake their hand and put an arm around their shoulder and say, how are you going?
I was very interested in Anna's story, how that sense of community seemed to bind her in a way that she chafed against. Yeah. And there almost seemed to be a longing for Hirsch that if he might have that, doors might be opened in a particular way. And maybe he wasn't as aware of the ways that it might bind him, because he's not there yet.
He's not there yet. But by the second novel piece, the one that's just come out, he's been there a year. He belongs to the tennis club, and they've roped him into being the town Father Christmas. He has to ride up on a horse one evening and distribute presents to the town and farm kids. He's never ridden a horse before, and he feels ridiculous, but he's making an effort at least. Mm-hmm. And he's in a love relationship with a local widow and her daughter, so he's making an effort, but he still doesn't feel that it's quite home yet, and he knows it perhaps never will feel like it.
My name is Andrew Popel, and that is Gary Disher I am speaking with there. We are discussing his new novel, Peace, and there's still more of that conversation to come, but I thought I'd share some tunes with you before we get back to it. This is from Emily Fairlight. The track is called Lips Lasso.
Thank you.
You're on 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and my name is Andrew Popel. Just there, we heard from Emily Feller. That track was called Lips Lasso. I really enjoy that. That was an absolute. I have just discovered Emily Fairlight, and that's kind of something that I love presenting this show to you. And it's something that I love about 2SER is the amazing music that I get to discover. Of course, every week I also get to discover new Australian writing and share it with you. And today I am joined by Gary Disher. Now, we are discussing his new novel, Peace. It's taking us to South Australia on the eve of Christmas. So, feeling a little bit festive for the season. And so far in our conversation, we've been discussing and exploring the tremendous characterization of Gary's protagonist, Paul Hirschhausen. And I feel like we're talking about this at the expense of a horrific crime. It's a detective novel, but this is what I found so fascinating. I could have traveled with Hirsch even if he didn't have to solve a crime. And there was even a moment right at the end of the book that, of course, we're only going to talk in vague terms, but apologies are being made that link to the very beginning of the story. And I'm very conscious, as you know, when you read a book, you can feel between your fingers how much there is to go. And I thought, Gary, you're only giving yourself a couple of pages to do this here. And it felt like you were starting a story. And I really wanted to know more about that. That might just be a comment. I don't really have a question associated with that. But the way I travelled with the characters, you left me thinking I wanted more of that story as much as you'd solved, we'd almost solved the crime at that point.
Well, I think perhaps with all of the novels I write and the short stories earlier, that things are never neatly wrapped up at the end, because life is not like that either. But I leave it in to suggest an ongoing story, that this part of it's been resolved, but now there's a change circumstances for everybody and life has to go on, so there's going to be a new story starting. That's how I like to end stuff.
You did. You made me want another one. Now, a puzzle. You introduce, I'm going to call it, a strange artifact into the story of Peace in the form of Mrs. Keir's journal. Hirsch discovers this book. It's tucked away in a forgotten drawer, and he appropriates it in, I'm going to put in scare quotes there, for further investigation. He reads it throughout, and the diary tells of the early days of white settlement in the area, and it relates stories that seem to Hirsch to reveal a local massacre of the indigenous population, as well as there's sort of a general mistrust from the local community held against the traditional owners. And I guess they're, you know, you have to look at this through different historical lenses, but they perceive incursions on their land, and I'm sure both perspectives can be taken in there. In your placement of the journal entries, though, where Hirsch is reading them and where they occur in the story, I thought I saw something of a lens, though, being held up to the current population, the people that see themselves as locals today. Where, if you can answer this without revealing too much, where do Mrs. Keir's journal fit for you in the story of Peace?
Oh, I'll give a broader answer to start with. I trained as an historian. I've got a master's in Australian history. So I've done a lot of research over the years in state archives and the War Memorial and other places like that. When I wrote The Sunken Road, I drew on old journals and old newspapers for that, and I even copy some of those references from colonial settler era diaries and so on. But I had a strong sense of history early in my life, because one day I can remember my father, who was a wheat farmer, taking me to a lonely creek bank and showing me a stone grave that had been carved by a shepherd whose son had died, who drowned in the creek in the 1870s. And I've just simply put that in the novel, because Hirsch has shown the same stone. So from an early age, I had this sense of a living history, that these things happened in the past and all these people are dead, including the original inhabitants. But in a sense, they were still living there. So I wanted to give a sense of the past is never past. It's still present, if you like. But I'm also interested in the notion of dispossession. that the original inhabitants were dispossessed. But I think there's a sense now too of rural communities being dispossessed, of young people going to live and work in the cities, of big agri companies taking over the small family farm, that sort of thing, and towns dying, and some of the industries of a town, like a lot of little towns now no longer have banks or whatever it might be. So, I mean, it's partly that sense of dispossession. It's an ongoing thing.
I'm speaking with Gary Disher, and we are discussing his new novel, Peace. There are a wealth of events that we can't talk about because it's a mystery. There are a wealth of characters to meet in this novel. But I thought, let's end with a bang on a bit of a genre question. Because Peace, it isn't exactly a mystery in the Golden Age detective sense. But I found that while you didn't, you know, have us ruminating on patterns of cigarette ash that are going to, you know, point in the direction of the true killer, you did invite us to look through Hirsch's eyes and see the psychologies of those around him. And through that, through what you gave me, I'm happy to say I picked at least one of the crims. Are you inviting the reader in some way to solve the crime by exploring these various psychologies and characterizations?
I think I probably am, yeah. I don't mind if you've solved it. And in fact, in some of my other crime novels, the reader knows who the bad guy is ahead of the main character, because I take the multi-viewpoint novels, my Wyatt novels, for example, and my Peninsula police procedurals. I take the reader into the mind of the bad guy. So I am interested in criminal personality, or rather of what might cause an ordinary person to go off the rails, what kind of twisted thinking, what sense of grievance drives them. I'm interested in that sort of criminal personality, what makes a person tick.
Yeah,
I can't do that with Hirsch because I don't take the reader anywhere else but in Hirsch's mind. So, so we see Hirsch making his own minds up about what might be driving someone. So I'm certainly interested in that.
I am speaking with Gary Disher. We are very circumlocuously talking about Peace. It is an absolutely fantastic mystery. It is an absolutely fantastic read. And it's set, did we mention that it's set around Christmas? So it is absolutely perfect to pick up. Something about reading crime at Christmas, something about being somewhere where awful things are happening to make you feel a little bit more safe and snug in yourself. I love what you've done here, Gary, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Gary Disher is the award-winning novelist. He's got more than 50 titles, and his latest is Peace. We were just discussing Peace there, so thank you so much to Gary for coming into Final Draft and joining me on the show. It is almost time for me to say goodbye, and it's only for a week. Now, if you have missed anything, and rest assured, there is always more to be said about books, you can catch up on the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. My full conversation with Gary will be going up after the show. So there's always plenty to discover, including all of the interviews from the past few weeks and some bonus material that goes up from time to time. I am about to say goodbye, but I will leave you with a track. Stay tuned. There is more great stories, ideas, and music coming at you from 2SER. Now, this is from a Sydney four-piece. They are called Sydney four-piece. They are called Mere Women. The track is called WIG. My name is Andrew Popel. I will be back with more Final Draft next week. Till then, happy reading.
When you're gone.